Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for CEO Exclusive, brought to you by Annona Enterprises.
This is John Coffin. I'm here at the Vistage CEO Summit, and I'm here with Devin Rifkin, the founder and CEO of Billcrunch. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's great to be with you. Tell us a little bit about Billcrunch and what your firm does.
So Billcrunch is an expense reduction firm which has historically existed for large and medium-sized businesses. And what we've done is we've created a web platform for consumers and small businesses to take a picture, upload their bills, their monthly recurring bills, whether it be their cable bill, their cell phone bill, their office supply bill, their natural gas bill, in whichever category they have. We'll take a look at that, and we will negotiate on their behalf based upon our expertise and contacts and contracts that we've made through a sister company of ours that I founded called the National Cost Containment Group.
So, wow, I'm just thinking about all the bills that I pay on a monthly basis and think how much you can do for me. What's the typical, kind of savings that people, consumers or small businesses would experience from joining your firm?
So I'll give you two of our last examples.
Okay.
One example would be we had a small business yesterday upload seven of their Comcast bills. Actually, it was six Comcast bills and one Charter Communications bill. They uploaded them to us for their seven offices around the country. And, you know, these are $250 a month cable bills. And over a two-year period, we were able to save them $9,722.
Wow.
Which is a lot of money.
Absolutely.
That's significant.
That's potentially, pays for somebody's assistant for 6 months of the year or something like that.
Exactly.
That's remarkable.
And on the consumer side of things, we had somebody, the last person that we had worked for yesterday, had uploaded a cable bill as well. And it was $250, and we were able to save them $100 a month. I mean, that's $1,200 a year.
Now, when did you start the company? Just recently?
Started the business a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you know this was like a great idea? You know, did it kind of hit you like a ton of the bricks, or what was the process of really getting going?
So I was formerly in the garment hanger industry. I started a company called the Great American Hanger Company, hangers.com.
Okay.
Built that. Grew it substantially, got absolutely walloped when the economy crashed in 2008. And when we had to retreat and reduce bills, I had always thought, you know, my friends and family always came to me, and this is something that I'm good at. It was just amazing to me how in 90% of the cases we were able to reduce our bills, and how in the past, you know, nobody likes reducing expenses. It's not fun. And in the year 2015 and in the foreseeable future, it isn't just enough to focus on the revenue side. You've got to focus on the revenue and on the expense side.
Right.
So I realized after I had sold my business in 2012 and really looked hard at what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, and what types of things I wanted to get involved in the future, what really attracted me to this business is the fact that my customer wins because they save money, we win because we earn money, and the provider wins because they retain a customer.
Right.
And so it's an unusual business model from that vantage point.
That's an interesting perspective, because the provider actually, this probably helps with their client retention in some ways, in kind of a weird way. I hadn't thought of that.
It does help with their retention. It depends
what. So Comcast likes you.
I don't know if Comcast likes us or anybody likes Comcast, but we could be the first. That's actually a hell of a point. I think that you know, with as quickly as things are changing right now, with, you know, the Google Fibers and people that are not using cable anymore, and they're now just watching Netflix, and you look at the curves in terms of viewership, these larger companies are going to have to get their arms around retention. And if they don't, we'll work with their competitors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're open to it. They should be open to it. And a customer at a lower gross margin for them that supports their retention is really the most important thing.
Devin, you've been a serial entrepreneur, lots of different opportunities that you've been invested in. What are some of the cultural cornerstones of the companies that you built?
It always starts in the same place for me, and that's with people. And the last company I had built is in Miami. It's where I'm from, and I'm a third generation Miamian. And we used to joke because there's such an international group of people that live in Miami, and so it really took a long time to find the right person. And then we would spend even more time. And on average, we would interview somebody 5 or 6 times. And people would joke and say, you know, it seems like it'd be easier to get a job with the CIA, you know, than you get a job with a hangar company. But I just feel in my heart that, you know, too many entrepreneurs think, oh, this is such a pain. I have to stop what I'm doing with my business, go interview somebody, hire them so I can get back to my business. But people are the business.
Right.
And in the truest sense. And so they, in large part, are the reasons that we were successful over the years. So the first cornerstone is people.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is just more a matter of who I am, my character, and I think really how people should act. And that's, if you say you're going to do something, do it. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't have my strengths and weaknesses. But if you say that you're going to do something, there's so much uncertainty for all of us outside in the workplace. Give your team the certainty that they deserve, the one of the few certainties they deserve, and that is follow through on what you say you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So really kind of throughout the institution and personally, having that culture of accountability.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
You've recently gotten involved with a Vistage Group. Talk a little bit about that. This is obviously a fantastic kind of mountaintop experience for all of us to come here and hear these great great speakers and all. But what's Vistage meant to you? What have you gotten out of your group, out of the group setting?
Well, I think what's most interesting is people's inherent reaction to joining a group like Vistage is, I don't have the time.
Right.
If we're being honest, right? I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
I'm busy. Well, you know, quite honestly, you really can't afford not to join something like Vistage. And for me, having been through a business with extreme ups and downs, you know, it could be very lonely. There are a lot of things that people just don't feel comfortable speaking about or don't like talking about. And loneliness and feeling isolated is definitely one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew, even though I was in startup mode and busy, in fact, I couldn't afford not to be in Vistage, because Vistage offers, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, it offers you an incredible chair who is usually there for you inside meetings, during one-on-ones, and really as much as you need if you don't take advantage of it. You've got a great group of people that are usually always in different complementing fields, which is amazing because you get different perspectives. You have people of all different ages and backgrounds and sexes, which is great because everybody's got a different perspective there. And really, quite honestly, just the connections, whether it's, you know, being introduced to a bank or whether it's being introduced to somebody that specializes in something that you need, you can cut through a lot of it because they're not going to recommend somebody where there isn't credibility.
Right.
And let's face it, that's what a lot of the uncertainty is for people.
So it can be an accelerator in lots of different ways.
It can be and has been, and I think that's a perfect way of saying it.
Mm-hmm. Bill Crunch is obviously a technology platform. Talk a little bit about how technology has really impacted the viability of your business.
Well, technology has really impacted the viability of our business, and there's sort of two schools of thought. One school of thought is, you know, people are excited about Shark Tank, and people are excited about raising money and finding fancy terms and Entrepreneur Magazine and Inc. Magazine and whatnot, and they like to raise money and they like to build something big without truly understanding what it is that they're building. We've taken a lean approach where we've said, you know what, we're going to earn the right to grow by understanding the business, by being in the weeds and not making assumptions. And so I can't tell you the past year has been fun. It's been 2 steps forward and 4 steps back on many days. And you know, my wife said to me a few weeks ago, you just don't seem yourself, you kind of just seem a little out of it or unhappy. And that's when I said to myself, well, then I know I'm right where I should be when it comes to, you know, to a startup, because that's just the way that it is. So we're trying to understand things from a very manual perspective in order to truly understand how to implement things beyond the semi-automated state that we're in right now.
Okay, so that's probably kind of as we're here today talking about Vision 2020 and really kind of trying to cast out 5 years, what are some of the takeaways for you? What are some of the things that you feel like, gosh, I got to go back and really kind of think deeply about that or begin moving in that direction?
Well, I really enjoyed the talk today from the futurist. And one of my favorite TED Talks ever was a TED Talk called The Paradox of Choice. And the paradox of choice basically goes like this. If an employer is going to offer a match in a 401k, and they're effectively going to give you free money, and they come to you and they say, just let us know which one of these 3,000 mutual funds you choose. It's analysis paralysis, and the odds are you're not going to choose anything. And I think in large part, people are desensitized and overstimulated with the influx of information. I know that I am. And so consequently, when they look at choices, they are overwhelmed and they shy away because they're afraid they're going to make the wrong choice. So one of the things that we're looking to do that I will specifically apply to the business to answer your question directly is we want to create a platform that where people can count on a Bill Crunch has put together a good, better, best scenario, and I can trust that and not be insecure by looking outside of those parameters. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you can present that in a way to somebody where things are simple and straightforward and they're confident in their choices, and in the end it enriches their lives, I think you really have a winner. And the cost of living is not going down anytime soon, and most people do not like calling to reduce their bills. So I really think that with the little track record that we've had a huge amount of success.
That's fantastic. You talked about Miami. Obviously, you're building your company here in Atlanta. Talk about the state of entrepreneurism, maybe tech entrepreneurism in Atlanta, give us some perspective on that.
Well, one of the many reasons that we chose Atlanta was for its business climate, its business community. And CNBC had voted Georgia number one in the country for doing business, which people just wouldn't believe or they would miss on a multiple choice test. And this town is incredible, both on the corporate side and on the startup side, and I think that's very unusual. Mm-hmm. I think you also have an incredible cost of living here in complete opposition to the way that it is in Miami. I mean, a one-bedroom apartment is $2,500. How can any startup exist in an environment like that?
Right.
And so when you look at the cost of living, you look at the schools here, you look at the infrastructure, if you're not getting there from this airport, you're not getting there from any airport.
Right.
And I know that we were just voted number one busiest airport in the world. I say we, and I've only been here a year and a half, but we just love it that much. The real differentiator for me has been just the layers and loads of talent that have stayed and flocked to this city.
Right.
And that's just been invaluable because I couldn't find it in the city I was at prior.
It's very exciting. It's kind of a stew of talent, and some of it is more traditional and corporate, and some of it's more entrepreneurial and looser, but it just seems like there is a growing culture of innovation here, a growing culture of a velocity that exists, and I'm glad to hear you say that. In the tech world, you know, we hear a lot about innovation. Tell us how innovation happens at Bill Crunch, how it happens maybe for you personally. How do you innovate?
That's a tough question. I think the way that that I innovate is I'm really frankly overwhelmed by tech. I don't consider that to be a weakness. I just consider it to be more that I embrace what my weakness is or what I'm not naturally gifted at. And so one point that I can tie back to Atlanta in answering this question is that when you're in an already established city like a New York or a Boston or a Silicon Valley, you don't feel like you've got so much to contribute because things are sort of already maxed out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of depth and a lot of heart and a lot of roots and a lot of excitement in the startup community here. And so I've surrounded myself with a good part of the tech community. And quite frankly, they've all helped me out. They've been here for a long time and they know a lot of people. And so what I've experienced here is that people want to innovate, because that's where things are headed. But I also find an extra very important layer where people want to innovate because they want to put Atlanta on the map in the most genuine of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really helpful because it comes from the right place. And with Georgia Tech in our backyard, I almost, it's just, there's so many opportunities for lunches and meetings and whatnot. It's just almost a matter of trying to pare down what'll be most meaningful to me mm-hmm. and how I could be most meaningful to someone else. But it's just been incredible in Atlanta. And it's those people that have helped me out with ideas to innovate.
That's really, I think, a fascinating perspective on it. And it's interesting, you know, that you're a year or 2 years into your journey, as you think about what's next, the horizon, you know, what's out there that you really that you're either challenged by or an opportunity that you want to take advantage of here in the next few years?
Well, one of the obvious ones that I want to take advantage of is I want to take advantage of the increased cost of living. Because I think that bodes well for helping our customers, whether the economy is good or not. And one of the major challenges for me personally, and I think for a lot of us, is just time management and trying to parse through and understand what falls in which part of the 80-20 rule and what's worth spending your time on, because you almost feel irresponsible or you feel guilty or you don't feel diligent when you don't get to everything. But there's a price to pay. I mean, it's absolutely exhausting, and I feel like it's a challenge for me every day. So
yeah.
I'd like to try and to really figure out, as things become more quote unquote addictive, or they we're just flooded with information, that I learn how to effectively manage my way through that. Things are just so fragmented now, which also creates opportunity, but it's just not the way that it's been for a lot of us that have, you know, come up over the past 20, 30 years. It just hasn't been that way.
Right, right. One of the things that I always like to ask, particularly entrepreneurs like yourself, is what was the best business advice you've ever received?
I have a very certain answer to that question. The best business advice that I ever received was work as hard as you can because it's one of the only things that you can control.
That's great. Who told you that?
It was my uncle, actually.
Okay.
It was my uncle who was in the apparel business in New York and had really experienced some extreme ups and downs.
Hmm.
If it was a matter of, you know, an education, a half a brain, work ethic, none of us would be concerned. Right. We'd all feel confident that everything was going to work out.
Yeah.
But it's far from that. There are just so many outside influences and circumstances, and things are changing so rapidly. I mean, just so rapidly, and it's a real challenge.
Mm-hmm. This has been really great catching up with you, learning more about your company. Tell our listeners how they can learn more about Bill Crunch and get in contact with you.
So to learn more about Bill Crunch, you can go to our site, www.billcrunch.com, and you can upload your bills directly to our site. You can send us an email or you could call us, and we would be happy to take as much time as you'd like. Or if you don't want to talk to us at all, that's fine too. But give us a shout. I am almost 100% certain we can save you money.
Devin, this has been great. Really appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us here at the CEO Executive Summit.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.